Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Today we are observing the last day of the Christian Feast of Unleavened Bread. On the first day of the Christian Feast of Unleavened Bread, we reviewed why we as Christians still observe the holy days and saw how the early church still observed the holy days. Today we'll begin by looking at some of the original verses from the Old Testament related to this last day of the Christian Feast of Unleavened Bread. Having recently observed the Christian Passover and the first day of the Christian Feast of Unleavened Bread, we are reminded of the extreme cruelty that Jesus experienced through his crucifixion and death that gives us the opportunity for eternal life, and how his death removed the need for the sacrifices and offerings mentioned in the Old Testament as he died once for all. We also read that people who disregard the commandments of the Bible will be considered least in the kingdom of God. By focusing on the death of Jesus Christ, we should be humbled and reflect gratitude in all that we do. The last day of the Christian Feast of Unleavened Bread is mentioned in Leviticus 23, and that's where we'll begin today in verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Today is a holy day, the last day of the Christian Feast of Unleavened Bread. It is not a day of work. It is a day for us to once again reflect that it is through Jesus Christ we are led from the captivity that is sin, understanding that the captivity in Egypt is symbolic of captivity in sin. We can look at the biblical account of the Israelites leaving the captivity of Egypt and use that for inspiration in our personal fight against sin in our own life. Let's look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Egypt was the house of bondage, the place of captivity for the children of Israel. And sin is what keeps us captive today. Just like the children of Israel were led from their captivity in Egypt by the strength of God, today we are led from our sins by the strength of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this feast, when we've been eating unleavened bread, it is symbolic of choosing a life that is free from sin. Verse 4. This day came ye out in the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the 7th day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand as the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. We know that the early church kept the Christian feast of unleavened bread as they kept the other holy days. When we read a verse like verse 10 of Exodus 13, we see the continued need to observe the feast, understanding what changed at the death of Jesus Christ was the need for sacrifices and offerings as Jesus died once for all, removing the needs for sacrifices and offerings. The children of Israel soon found out that even though they were assured of safe passage out of Egypt, Pharaoh soon changed his mind and began to pursue them. Similarly, just because God has called us and given us His Holy Spirit does not mean that sin will leave us alone. Sin originates with Satan the devil, who rebelled against God and remains God's and our adversary. Just like Egyptians wanted to keep the children of Israel in captivity, Satan wants us to be enslaved to sin. We can look to the pursuit of the children of Israel by the Egyptian armies to find examples we can apply in our own life, as well as a source of hope and strength. Let's pick up the story of the pursuit in Exodus 14, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea before Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, that we should die in the wilderness. It is very human to consider the bad that happens around us and to use that as a reason to give up and fail, especially when the bad that is around us is a result of our own making and doing. When we sin and fall short of the glory of God and Jesus Christ, we could become so discouraged that we give up. And when we give up spiritually, we will die. Instead of taking that approach, we should take comfort and find boldness in how God worked with each of us. Notice what Moses said to the children of Israel in verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Just like God would fight for the children of Israel, God will fight for us. Just like God delivered them from the Egyptians, God will deliver us from sin in our life, even when absolute failure and death seem certain. The message for us is the same message given to the children of Israel and restated in many ways and at different times throughout the darkest hours of human history. We will never give up. We will never surrender. We need to look to God and Jesus Christ for our protection today, just as God told Moses how he would protect the children of Israel in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. God told Moses he would use the hatred of the Egyptians against them. And today we can take great confidence that God and Jesus Christ will take the hatred that is in Satan the devil and use that hatred against Satan. Whatever appears as a stumbling block before us that we think might prevent us from attaining salvation and eternal life is something that can and will be removed by God in Jesus Christ. With the children of Israel, God supernaturally intervened so that the pursuing Egyptians could not see the children of Israel. Verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night. Imagine being the children of Israel, knowing that the Egyptians are nearby, and somehow they cannot see you. That is what happened that night. Not just for a few hours, but for an entire night. How much confidence did that give them to continue to listen to God and follow his commands? How much more should we take confidence knowing that God has our back when sin or any bad situation is trying to overtake us? During this time of COVID-19, many are afraid of dying, becoming sick, replacing lost wages, finding food, finding toilet paper, and paying bills. Just like the children of Israel understood that God had their back and that they had to move forward, that is all we know. Because we have their example, we should be able to move forward with great confidence. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. As we face sin or any struggle in our life, we should have great confidence that God has our back and will protect us from all forms of evil that pursue us. It is when we give up on God and Jesus Christ and fail to move forward that we endanger our own life. The challenges and sins we have in our life may be challenging. There is no challenge that God cannot defeat. We must trust in God and Jesus Christ and follow their lead, just like the children of Israel followed Moses, who followed God's lead. Verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. It was after the children of Israel saw the Egyptians killed by the sea that they trusted and believed in God. Much like Thomas, who believed after he saw that Jesus was resurrected. Notice John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. When we face trials and our own sins, we must have great confidence. We must believe. We must have faith that God has our back as we move forward, following the lead of God and Jesus Christ. And when we act in faith without first seeing, we are blessed, we will be happy, because we are being led from the spiritual captivity of sin to the spiritual freedom that is possible through Jesus Christ. As we live our life moving forward, having faith that God and Jesus Christ are leading us while having our back, we are not to move forward thinking we are super Jews or super Pharisees or super Sadducees. We are Christians who understand that the commandments and holy days are spiritually part of our life, thanks to the death and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And instead of reverting to the need for animal sacrifices and offerings, we know that Jesus died once for all. While living a life from the freedom of the penalty of sin, knowing that we have the opportunity for eternal life, being a Christian means we have faith in Jesus Christ, that through his death and sacrifice, we have the opportunity for eternal life. It is not through our keeping of the commandments that we earn eternal life. Eternal life is a gift paid for with a high price. Notice Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It is through faith in Jesus Christ, not obedience to the law in verse 6, we have access to eternal life. But notice verse 9, that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just because it is through faith in Jesus Christ and not obedience to the law that we have access to the law does not mean sin no longer exists. Remember from the first day of the Christian Feast of Unleavened Bread that Jesus said, whoever would teach others not to keep the commandments would be called least in the kingdom of God. The commandments and holy days still exist, understanding that because Jesus died once for all, there is no longer a need for sacrifice and offering. Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For it is through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto the many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Paul showed that in the Old Testament, the one sin of Adam led to death, and that with the death of Jesus Christ, many sins could still result in eternal life. Because through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigneth by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Paul explained in the Old Testament, Adam's sin caused everyone to be sinners. The death and obedience of Jesus Christ allows everyone to be righteous. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul added that the more laws you have, the more sin you will find. Laws are designed to catch people in acts of noncompliance. And in the New Testament, wherever there is sin that previously led to death, we have the opportunity to be forgiven our sins by Jesus Christ so that we can have eternal life. Some will look at these verses and wonder why we need to obey. If it is through Jesus Christ, we are given the opportunity for eternal life. The fact that Paul writes about sin and that the law established sin should indicate to us that the law is still in effect, which aligns nicely to the statement of Jesus Christ that whosoever would teach not to follow the law would be least in the kingdom of God. Paul continues the thought in chapter 6, verse 1, with three questions. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Paul asks if we should live a life of sin to prove that Jesus can save us, and immediately discards this notion, explaining we are to be dead to sin, no longer living a sinful life. Again, this doesn't mean we are dead to the commandments. It does mean we understand our obedience to the commandments does not save us. We do not earn salvation. It is the death of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins through his death that gives us eternal life. Notice verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. To be dead to sin requires us to first understand that sin is established by the law, much like misdemeanors and felonies are established by criminal law. Because we believe there is a need to be dead to sin, we must accept that there is the law which establishes sin. The law, the commandments, and the holy days are not done away, but through the death of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity for salvation and eternal life. Because we have this opportunity for eternal life, and because as long as we follow the lead of Jesus Christ and God the Father, knowing they have our back, we do not give up on what we know, because when we give up on what we know, we are like the Gentiles that Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We cannot allow ourselves to walk in the vanity of our minds and deceive ourselves. We cannot allow a sinful lifestyle to creep back into our life because we have this opportunity for eternal life. Instead, We are to move forward, getting rid of the sins that once were part of our life. We can have great confidence. We can have belief. We can have faith. That as long as we surrender ourselves to God and follow the lead of Jesus Christ and God the Father, that nothing will overtake us. Notice what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it was written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is for us when we follow the lead of God the Father and Jesus Christ. And when God is for us, nothing can be against us. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is found through Jesus Christ. With this knowledge, we should not be living a life of fear. With this knowledge, we should be living life that is boldly confident. Notice the reminder Paul gave to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. As we live our life, we can have great confidence, belief, and faith that God and Jesus Christ will lead us to eternal life as long as we are willing to follow their lead, just like the children of Israel followed the lead of Moses. Notice what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Passing through the sea was the baptism of the children of Israel. Because the children of Israel were led from captivity, we have great confidence, belief, and faith that we will be led from the captivity of sin. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. just like many of the children of Israel stopped following the lead of Moses and instead started doing their own thing, we must never stop following the lead of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Just because the penalty of sin, death, is removed for us as long as we follow, does not give us reason to abandon the commandments and holy days. Notice verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. It is an arrogant person who thinks they no longer need the commandments and holy days. Jesus Christ and God the Father. When we stop following their lead, we voluntarily abandon the freedom from the penalty for sin. We can take comfort knowing that no temptation will ever be put before us to entice us to abandon their lead. We will always have a path forward. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That this idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Paul explains that not everything that is lawful to do is expedient, nor does everything that is lawful improve who we are and others in our life. Instead of seeking our own spiritual gain, we are all to seek how we can help others spiritually. Verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. From time to time, because we observe the holy days as given in the Bible, we might find ourselves at odds with other family members who observe Christmas and Easter. When they invite us to a meal, what should we do? Notice verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered and sacrificed unto idols, eat not for a sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. In all things we do, we should strive to not purposely give offense within the church of God to Jews or to Gentiles. When we consider what we should do, it should always be framed not only within a framework of the commandments and holy days, but the conscience of the other people. If we are invited to a meal for Christmas or Easter with the intent of having a family get together, should you offend the conscience of the other person by not going? If their intent is to invite you over to belittle you, that's another story. When we make decisions, we need to consider the conscience of the other person, because in the end, God wants all people to be saved. We should never take action that would unnecessarily make people dislike or hate God, especially when the matters at hand is a social rather than religious matter. Paul reminded the Galatians of the need to do good to all people as we have opportunity, especially the household of faith. Notice Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Some believe we are to be separated from this world. The truth is, we live in this world and will continue to live in this world until either our death or the return of Jesus Christ. We are the elect, we are called. All the good that we do does not have to flow through the church. We do not need the church's permission to help other people. As we have the opportunity, let us do good for all people, especially when the other person who needs help is also a member of the household of faith. During these last 7 days, we have been observing the Christian Feast of Unleavened Bread. We know that as Christians, as we allow our faith to grow and develop, we make our election and entrance into the kingdom of God sure. And we do this by every day practicing what we are doing during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We must remove the leavening of malice and wickedness from our lives. Because we have been called, we cannot use that knowledge and relationship as a source of arrogant pride, because we could inadvertently cause us to worship ourselves instead of God. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees were guilty of this, though they saw themselves as righteous even when they oppressed. Instead of being hypocritical in our religious faith, we will act with sincerity and truth, because through diligence we will be allowing our faith to grow and mature, and in so doing, the Holy Spirit will lead us into the kingdom of God. We will understand that salvation is not dependent upon anything we do. We know that our keeping the commandments and the holy days does not earn us salvation, and we recognize that this never gives us an excuse to ignore the commandments and the holy days. Finally, let's look at a passage from the letter to the Philippians in chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul reminded the Philippians that they would never be abandoned by God the Father and Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, he asked God why he was abandoned. We all have times and situations in our life when we may feel abandoned. We will never be abandoned by God the Father and Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ paid that price for us too. Just like the children of Israel followed the lead of Moses and escaped the captivity of Egypt, we can take great confidence, belief, and have that faith that as long as we follow God the Father and Jesus Christ, we will never be abandoned. God the Father and Jesus Christ will continue to work in our life until the very end, the return of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.